Well, I hope you've also had a good, wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus with your family this year as well. For the first time since having grandchildren, all of our kids and grandkids spent the night with us under one roof, and we shared football games and dinner and breakfast, and then we worshiped together on Sunday morning, and it was a wonderful Christmas season. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed it being a long weekend. It gave us more opportunity to be together as family. And here we are now, the last Sunday. This is the conclusion of 1 year and the start of a new year, and I call this Transition Sunday. One chapter closes and a new chapter begins. Anybody need a fresh new start in 2024? If you're like me, I'm glad to close the 2023 chapter. As many of you know, if you do follow Facebook, you know that I have actually completed 24 months of chemo back and forth to Duke for tests, blood tests and scans and skin procedures. You also see that my wife suffered a crippling injury from pickleball. Yes, pickleball, and ruptured her Achilles that led to surgery. Then an infection set in, and as of this past Thursday, we have gone through 6 procedures and continue wound care with many, many more months of physical therapy to come. So, like many of you, we're ready for a fresh new start in 2024. But as challenging as our health has been this past year, you see, there are many others who have suffered worse. Some have even lost loved ones, and they too could use a fresh new start, and that could be you this morning. So, what could I say to encourage you as we transition from one chapter to another, from 1 year to the new year? And so, Kevin, I shared with you last week what the Lord had laid on my heart, and it's a particular verse to focus on today. And I pray that it will be an encouragement to you, and at the same time, be a charge to us as we begin to face tomorrow. And notice I said tomorrow. Yes, it's the beginning of a new year. But for believers, but for Christians, it's one day at a time with Jesus, right? We must take up our cross daily and follow Him. His mercies are new to us every year. No, it's every morning. It's every day. So I might have said this to you before because I think I've preached here on this Transition Sunday before. To me, it's not Happy New Year. We should be saying to each other, Happy New Day. Because tomorrow is a new day. Because I can trust Him with my life daily, then that means I can trust Him with tomorrow, and I can trust Him next week, and I can trust Him next month, and I can trust Him the entire upcoming year. Amen? So happy new day to you. Let me remind you this morning of this familiar verse, and it reminds me of your Christian walk and my Christian walk as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, very specifically. And I want to share with you multiple translations, multiple versions this morning, and how it reads differently. In the Revised Standard Version, Paul says in chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone, and that word, those two words are separated, it's any one is in Christ. He is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. And so notice here the emphasis seems to be on the individual, the person, if any one person, if anybody is in Christ. Then the American Standard Version reads this way, wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. And so notice the emphasis seems to be on the things. The old things are passed away. The new things have come. Then I looked at Holman Christian Standard Bible, and that's one of the translations that we use in our Sunday school curriculum. It says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." So notice the difference here. There's an emphasis on taking notice of new things. And for our time together this morning, I want us to look at the New King James translation, and it reads this way. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Let's pray together. Father, as we embark on reading and hearing and better understanding of your word, how we need your Holy Spirit in this place to help us. Thank you that it's fresh. Thank you that it's applicable, not only in the day of Paul, not only in the church at Corinth, but to the church at Salem, to us individually. If anyone is in Christ, and that anyone is anyone who's in this room or within hearing distance of your word today. So, Lord, speak to us. May it be clear, may it be evident as to what it is you would have us to do as a result of you speaking to us. And we'll give you thanks and we'll give you praise for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's this one verse. And I think there are five key words or phrases from this one verse as we evaluate and as we conclude one year and as we anticipate and as we begin a new one. So let me give you these five, and then you're going to say, well, then you've already given them to us. We, you know, let's go. Hold on. Here they are. First word is therefore. The second phrase is if anyone is in Christ. The third phrase is, they are a new creation. The fourth phrase is, all things have passed. And finally, all things become new. This is a packed verse, isn't it? Paul, in his letter writing, has a pattern of sharing with churches what has already occurred and then draws a conclusion. Because of this, because of what has happened, therefore. And so verse 17 is no exception to that. So we're going to need to read what Paul said just before the therefore in verse 17. So look back with me, beginning with verse 14, when he says this. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So because of the love of Christ that Paul speaks about in verse 14, as evidenced in his sacrificial death, because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19, because he loved us when we were unlovely and ungodly and sinners and enemies, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, because Christ loved the world and gave himself for it, John 3:16. Because he loved the church, Ephesians 5:25. And because he loved the individual sinners, Galatians 2:20. Because of these reasons Christ died, we can't help but love him, right? Because when Christ died, we died in him and with him. Paul says in verse 14, therefore, the old life should have no hold on us today. I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. Galatians 2:20. And so because Jesus died, we also live with him and through him and for him, Paul says in verse 15. We were raised with him that we might walk in newness of life, he said to the church at Rome. Because we have died with Christ, we're overcomers of sin, but because we live with Christ, we bear fruit for the glory of God. Because Jesus died, we live for him, not for ourselves. No longer selfish, but selfless. We live for him and we live for others. And because Jesus died, we live with him forever. Whether we wake or sleep, live or die, we are with Christ here or in heaven. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:10. And so Paul is saying, because Jesus died that we might die, because Jesus died that we might live, therefore. That's what the there is for. Because of what Christ has done for us, therefore. And the second phrase, if anyone is in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. If anyone is a universal phrase here, and it means anybody, any person who becomes a believer, a follower of Jesus, any Christian. The phrase to be in Christ means to be united to Christ by faith. To be in Christ just as the branch is in the vine. That means that we're so united to the vine, we're so in the vine that we get all of our nourishment, all of our strength, all of our support from it, and we are completely dependent on it, and we're sustained by it. You see, where did my help come from in 2023? It came from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It came from the vine, the Lord Jesus. Yesterday, I was pruning our miniature crepe myrtles. And for those who know what they're doing, it's probably not the right time to be pruning them. And so I did it anyway. And so I cut it back, and it was literally so brittle that it broke off. It looked like it was dead, just to be honest. I didn't see any life in the twig that I cut off. However, come warm weather, from that seemingly dead stick that's rooted in the ground, there will suddenly be some color, there'll be some small leaves, and eventually there'll be beautiful blossoms. Why is that? Because the branch is connected to the vine. It's in the vine. And in the vine, the core of this tree, there is life, there's nourishment, there is strength, there is support. John 15:2, Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it can bear more fruit. John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. John 15:5 through 7, he says, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in me, the vine. And apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. So to be in Christ is an indication of this tender, close union with Jesus. It implies that all of our support is from him. All of our strength comes from him. And we partake of his fullness and share in his glory as we, the branch, partake of the strength and vigor of our vine, who is the Lord Jesus. Because Jesus died that we might die, because Jesus died that we might live, therefore, if we are in Christ, and here's the third phrase, we are new creatures. New creatures, a new creation. If we're truly in Christ, we undergo a change. There's a new way of thinking. A new way to view the issues of the day. A new attitude, a new outlook, We have new feelings. There's new hope. You know why it's obvious that we as believers are new creatures? Because we are in Christ. And when we're in Christ, we're closer to the vine. We're more like Jesus. We look more like Jesus. We walk more like Jesus. We talk more like him. We care like Jesus. We love like Jesus when we are close to the vine. So no matter who we were before, moral, immoral, non-believer, speculative believer, whether friendly toward Christianity or demeaning of it, participating in the lust of the flesh, or we've given in to the ways of the world or the wiles of the devil, if we are in Christ, you will experience such a change that you and others will know that indeed you are a new creation. Even if we've lived a pretty decent and moral life prior to trusting Jesus, God's word tells us that we're all sinners and fall short. We've all been saved by God's grace. And when Paul speaks of believers as new creatures, they're new attributes that look more like Jesus. So a new creature, the phrase is the same expression in Ephesians 4:24 when Paul says, the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It means that there is this change produced in the renewed heart of man that is like the very act of creation itself. And it strongly resembles it. A change as if the man has been made over again, has been created and recreated over again, becomes new. So just as God created the world out of nothing, he has the same power to convert a sinner like you and me into a new creation. I have a new pastor friend that I recently met, and I heard his testimony and God's call upon his life. As a boy and as a teen into his early adulthood, he was into drugs and alcohol. It had a strong hold upon his life. That is, until someone introduced him to Jesus and he trusted him with his life. He said, it was by the grace of God that he even spared my life, let alone use me as an instrument to spread the gospel. This man was radically saved. And he knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was a new creature in Christ. And everyone around him knew that he had changed. He was different. He had been remade. He was made new. Not by his own doings, but by the supernatural power of God that transformed his life. And he went on to say, you know what? I'm not a scholar. I don't even like to study that much. But by God's help, the Lord gave him the ability to complete seminary. He earned a master's degree, a doctorate. And today, he, along with his wife and children, they're faithfully leading and serving a local church right here in the Richmond area. You know, someone else who had a similar radical experience with Jesus, a man named Saul. He was so radically saved, so different, such a new creature, that Jesus gave him a new name, and his name was Paul. So no wonder he's encouraging the church at Corinth to abide in Christ, because if you will, you'll be a new creature. That's what he was encouraging. And he says the fourth phrase, all things will be passed away. When we're in Christ and we're new creatures, all things are passed away. They should be behind us, right? I want us to consider what passed away for the Jews. Their prejudices against Christianity were passed away. Their pride, their spirit of seducing or influencing others passed away. Their attachments to rites and rituals and ceremonies passed away. Their own salvation based on merit and works passed away. That independence was gone. And they relied on the merits of their Savior. And they welcomed and they embraced all who were part of the family of God. What passed away for the Gentiles? Their attachment to idols passed away. Their love of sin and degrading others passed away. Their dependence on their own works passed away. They renounced all of these things and had come to mingle their hopes and their lives with the converted Jews and with all of the followers and friends of Jesus. What is a passed away for all believers? Former prejudices, our opinions, our habits, our attachment to things and traditions, our love of self passes away, our love of sin passes away, our love of the world and what it has to offer passes away, our attachment to even earthly friends over our relationship with God passes away, lust of the flesh, pride, vanity, lack of respect, ambition, it all passes away. Because there's this deep and radical change that takes place at the new birth, which is carried on by our progression towards sanctification, and it's culminated at our death and our eternal presence in heaven. All things passed away. And finally, all things become new. Maybe that's what you've been waiting for this morning. Behold, all things become new. What things? All things. There's a new purpose in life. There's new feelings of the heart. There's new principles that lead us to action. All of it becomes new. There's a new understanding of things and objects and possessions. There's a new assignment for service to God and others. The heart forms new attachments. There are new views of God, new views of who Jesus is, new views of this world and the world to come, new views of truth and of duty. And everything is seen in a new aspect with new feelings. The Bible even seems to be a new book to those who are trusting. And though, even though we've been reading it for a long period of time in the past, there's this beauty about it which has never been seen before. And there's a new wonder and a new perspective about it. Even as we're driving and we're seeing nature, it seems new, as if it's a new world. The hills, the valleys, the streams, the sun, the stars, the groves, the forest seem to be new. A new beauty is spread over all of them, and we see nature as the work of God, and His glory is spread all over them. And we can say, "My Father made them all." Just as it was in the beginning, God created heaven and earth and all that is within it. The heavens and earth are filled with new wonders, and all things seem to sing the praises of God. Even the very countenance of friends seem to be new. We look at them differently, and there are new feelings toward all people. A kind of love for family and friends that we've never experienced before, and a new love for even our enemies and for all of mankind. All things are past. All things become new. Lord willing, our baby girl will give birth to their new baby boy in April. Can you imagine the excitement and the joy to welcome this new little boy into our family, into the world? Right now, all we see is an ultrasound. And she says, "That's an arm, that's a leg." I'm like, "Thank you," because I can't tell. That's what it is, you know? But one day, when that baby's born, we're going to be able to see, we're going to be able to touch, we're going to be able to feel, we're going to be able to hold this baby. And Paul says that when we are in Christ, it's like being born all over again. All over again. So this excitement that I'm going to be feeling around April the 24th is what I should be feeling because of what Jesus has done for me. He's making it new every day, every morning. Five words five phrases. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things become new. Today, as we call this Transition Sunday, I couldn't help but think of some of the traditions of New Year's Eve today and then New Year's Day. Like watching parades. Well, some of you watch parades in the morning. Or watching football, right? A little disappointed in last night's game. It was so lopsided, so you're hoping that maybe tomorrow it'll be better. Maybe you'll go to a party or a gathering with family and friends this evening as you're ushering in the new year. Maybe you'll watch New Year's Eve shows. Not the same without Dick Clark, right? Watch the ball drop in Times Square. Make New Year's resolutions. Eat some black-eyed peas and turnip greens. Is that what it is? Or just greens, right? For good luck. By the way, just to be transparent, I bought black-eyed peas from Food Lion before they sold out. I can't do turnips. I can't do collards. I got cabbage instead, but I got some greens. But I had to look up, why am I doing this? I mean, I really don't even know the tradition about it, so I did a little bit of research. The practice of eating black-eyed peas for luck is generally believed to date back to the Civil War. Did you know that? Originally, they were used as food for livestock and later as food as a staple for enslaved people in the South. Because of their lowly reputation, the Union Army troops of General Sherman ignored the fields of black-eyed peas while raising or stealing other crops. During the harsh winter, the Confederate soldiers survived on the remaining black-eyed peas, promoting this humble and nourishing vegetable into a symbol of fortune and prosperity in the American South. All of a sudden, I'm like, why in the world did I buy black-eyed peas? Today, the tradition of eating black-eyed peas for the new year has evolved into a number of variations and embellishments of the luck and prosperity. And the theme includes such things as black-eyed peas are served with greens, collards, mustard, or turnip greens. Sometimes that's a regional thing. The peas represent coins, and the greens represent paper money. In some areas, cabbage is used in place of the greens. Praise the Lord. Cornbread, often served with black-eyed peas and greens, represents gold, the corn. For the best chance of luck every day in the year ahead, one must eat at least 365 black-eyed peas on New Year's Day. Black-eyed peas eaten with stewed tomatoes represent wealth and health. That just means I'm going to be broke and sick. In some areas, actual values are assigned with the black-eyed peas representing pennies, or up to a dollar each, and the greens represent anywhere from $1 to $1,000. So you see, black-eyed peas are getting the lowly grade again. Get this. Adding a shiny penny or a dime to the pot just before serving is also a tradition. When served, the person whose bowl contains the penny or dime means that they're going to have the best luck for the new year. And if you swallow the penny or the dime, you're in bad luck. The catch to all of these superstitious traditions is that black-eyed peas are the essential element, and eating only the greens without the peas will not do the trick. Well, folks, let me tell you this morning what will do the trick. Looking back on 2023, as you're reflecting, what has sustained you and me? What has sustained me and my wife through challenges? And by the way, if we're willing to admit, we might have gone through challenges, but there have been many, many days of celebrations as well. But the key was staying in the vine, abiding in Christ, in the Lord Jesus, our help and our stay and our strength. And so as we face 2024, it's not about luck. It's not about black-eyed peas or stewed tomatoes and greens. It's not about unkept resolutions for a healthier lifestyle. It's not even about praying for health and prosperity, although I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But Paul says it's quite simple. You abide in Christ. Stay close to the vine daily. And it will be like being born again daily. The old self and things are past. They're behind you. And he makes all things new. A new day. A new week. And before you know it, it's a new month. And a new year. And we'll be right back here on Transition Sunday, heading into 2025, and we'll look back and say, because of what Jesus has done for me, because I abide in him and I stay close to the vine, he's given me everything that I need in 2024. Need a new start? Abide in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for Paul's encouragement to the church. His encouragement to us as believers, as a New Testament church today. Because Jesus died, we die. Because Jesus died, we live. And because of that, therefore, we are in Christ. The old things have passed away. Lord, I pray that today we're willing to say, Lord, that's behind me. Thank you for seeing me through. Thank you for giving me everything that I need, but not looking behind, I want to look to you as I head into 2024. So my prayer, Lord, you know, selfishly, I have prayed, Lord, help me with my health. Help me to provide for my family, for prosperity. But really what I need is to stay close to you. May that be my prayer and my resolve for 2024. And Lord, I can't help but believe that's the prayer for your people here today. Help us now in response to you, thanking you for what you've done, but also trusting you day by day of what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Kevin, it's probably an obvious thing that we come to this portion of our service that's called the invitation. And the reason it's called an invitation is because you're being invited to do what the Word is telling you to do. And so I think today it's just a matter of saying, Lord, thank you for where you brought me from, right? What you've seen me through in 2023. But Lord, keep me close to you, to the vine, to the source of my help and my strength. Brother Larry was telling me that he gives the Lord thanks and praise every time the food is going in the feeding tube. He doesn't get a chance to taste it or to swallow. But the Lord is giving him strength in the core of his body. I want you to see that picture. And he's giving him thanks for that nourishment, providing for his need. And he did that in 2023, and we're trusting him in 2024, right? To stay close to the core, to stay close to the vine. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. Now, here's the deal. There might be somebody here this morning who has never trusted the vine. And so, really and truly, we're dead. Our branch, if it's cut off, it's cut off from the source of our help and our strength. And I would love to pray with you. Some of the leaders here in the church would love to pray with you so that you can trust Jesus as your personal Savior, so that when you enter into 2024, you've got the source of your help and your strength. You've got the source of the vine, and you can live in Him and with Him and through Him. If that's your prayer this morning, would you respond? Maybe you just want to come to the altar, thank Him for what He's done in 2023. Maybe you want to come to the altar this morning to say, keep me close to You, the vine, as we approach 2024. Let's stand together as we sing. You respond.